Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. I am your host, Tanya. We are here to talk about episode 5, Kiki, title, date, wedding. No, was it Big Fat Gay Wedding?
It's Big Fat Gay Wedding.
Is Big Fat Gay Wedding?
We can retitle it
yeah,
now.
Kiki title, date, wedding, wedding.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about episode 5 of Top Chef season 13. And for our introduction, as I tell you who all is on the mics, I want everyone to answer a very quick and dirty question, which is, would you let Cajun Man 5000 marry you in an alley?
Like as in be the
officiant to your alley wedding. Yes. So, like I said, I'm Tanya. I'm here in Brooklyn with Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, is your answer yay or nay?
My answer is enthusiastically yay. I would let him wear the machete while officiating. I think he's charming as all get out and a lovely human being. And even if we're an alley, I think he'd class up the joint with his own Cajun charm.
I would hope that he would. I'm assuming we're getting married in this alley.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. So I would really hope that he winked at some point during the proceedings.
Yes.
Because I do enjoy his like big eyes and then crazy wink.
Yeah.
All right, so in the wink is excellent. So in the Bay Area, we have Ezra, Sarah, and Caleb, and same question.
I would take most people marrying me in most like situations, just because it's always an excuse for someone to give you presents.
Yeah, and lots of compliments.
And it's like, oh no, I'm. Yeah, right. It's like, oh, you're beautiful. And like, here's another present. Like, it was like, yeah, I'd like to refresh my vows again.
I'm going to say yes to Cajun Man 5000, but no to the alley.
Oh, sure. I mean, he said he would.
What if it's a really nice alley?
Really nice.
Yeah.
If it smelled good, I guess it's just the smell that was on my mind. If it was like a really beautiful
alley. Like a top 10 in the country alley.
and some natural light was pouring in.
Yeah, so if it's an alley sponsored by Febreze.
Yeah. You know, it's like one of the top 10 alleys in Better Homes and Alleys, you know.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The 2016 Dream Alley.
Yes.
Perfect. And last but not least, we have in Portland on the mic solo this week, Megan.
Yay. I think that, I'll be like you guys. I'll say yes. As long as he also caters the reception.
Yeah, sheep. Yeah. Yeah. That dirty rice, man.
Yeah.
Did a dirty.
Yeah, you can't have a party without ice or rice if you're Cajun Man 5000. So yeah, let's jump right in. This week we started out with a date challenge hosted by Padma and Chrissy Teigen.
Yes.
Was everyone as charmed as I was by Chrissy Teigen? She was pretty much the loveliest, I thought.
I did like when she asked Cajun Man 5000 if they did it on the special
Man
date.
And Mrs. Cajun Man. Yeah.
Right. Mrs. Cajun Man 5000.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge was to create a version of the best date you ever had. And they got these three varieties of dates from the Hadley Date Gardens. And they had 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And the prize was immunity trotted out yet again.
Yeah. But Chrissy Teigen, I mean, this is a great example of somebody who is Padma's real life friend, and they just have an amazing rapport and get to kid around. And and Chrissy is a fan of the show, and clearly, like, her excitement is just so contagious. So she's not a revered chef. She's not going to be in the elimination panel challenge or, you know, at the judges' table. But it was fun. And, like, of course, you know, Kwame just being like his eyes watching her lips as she tasted his food was precious.
I got embarrassed for Kwame when he like is in the middle of trying to explain about the naan and then just like can't talk anymore.
Yeah,
you know, there's
awkward.
Like, okay, so you know how they have the villain edit. They also, I guess, have the boner edit. Yeah. Where they just anytime there's like any interest, they just like cut to his eyes and like he's like, and like, sorry, Chrissy has to go, and then just cut to Kwame and he looks a little sad. Aww.
Consistently like exhaling audibly, like
Yeah.
Whoa, man. Keep it together, Kwame.
Kwame, why don't you come up here? Boy.
Kwame needs a trapper keeper just for this episode. No.
What did you guys think of the food for this challenge and like the challenge in general?
I thought it was fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me look at our cheat sheet. Yeah, what we actually
are dates a big part of California cuisine?
Do you guys just
they are in Palm Springs?
No. Yeah. No, no, I think it was more that all the date or a lot of the dates that we use in the country, a lot of them happen to come from
the Coachella Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It doesn't mean that this country cares about dates.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I heard.
But I loved it. I thought it was cute. I appreciated the.
And you got
pun
to learn more about the chefs and personally, which mm-hmm. is cool.
Sarah, I also liked the pun, and I weirdly I did not see it coming.
What?
I was really charmed and surprised, and then I was like, "This is so adorable, you guys." Mm-hmm. Dates and weddings.
Wow. Save the date.
See what they did there.
Yes, definitely see what they did there.
Yeah.
To continue to sidestep the food just for a second, I did want to talk about the personal stories aspect of this. I enjoyed that they grouped everybody into various camps. So there were the people that had legit date stories, the people, then those people that like had date stories with people that they ended up marrying. Then there were the people who had date stories with people that they were no longer with. Yep. And then the people who were like, what's a date? I work at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my problem with that was, or with the last group, was that even when they were explaining their food, they didn't seem to come up with like some like answer for why this was date related. Like they didn't.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you know, she didn't even have.
Yeah, she was like, I made food.
Yeah.
With not enough dates in it.
I know, right? Yeah, like it didn't even have any real dates in it.
But the thing is, there's that Top Chef thing where if your food's delicious, you're gonna be fine.
Like, I know, but usually you have to come up with some sort of like, here is how this is like the story you wanted me to tell with this food. So
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. At least to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I guess for non high stakes quick fires, you kind of do have to follow the challenge a bit because you probably won't ever be able to win otherwise.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I'm experiencing some Angelina fatigue, speaking of which. Mm. I think her
sweeping the nation.
Everybody can just barely deal. I can't even with you, Angelina. Well, so this episode, she in the early bit, she describes herself as a chihuahua, but that like
In the kitchen, she turns into a pit bull.
Yeah, or if you like mess with her,
but chihuahuas are so much meaner than pit bulls.
I think maybe she's more accurate than she realizes because I find that she's so consistently sour and just she's just kind of having none of it all the time.
Yes,
that I don't know what this like sweet side is that she keeps referring to.
Yeah, good with kids, glossy coat. Yeah.
And that's the person is dog. And moving right along.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about Carl's milkshake?
How many boys did it bring to the yard?
He brought this boy to the yard. I love it. He was probably deservingly on the bottom this time. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he did something so different than everybody else. And a non-high stakes quickfire is exactly the right time to do that and to have fun with it. And like, you know, I just think of like Hung doing crazy stuff. And he's like, I'm not going to win. I'm just going to do something weird. And I love that opportunity and to see other sides of these chefs.
Yeah. Although a date milkshake, I think, is something that I don't know. I've never actually been to Palm Springs, but I heard that that's like the thing in Palm Springs is the date milkshake. Yeah.
Okay.
I read that on the internet.
All right. Nice. You
know, if the internet is talking it up, maybe it's true. Yeah. Mayhaps. Sarah, you were saying you liked his story. I thought it was very sweet.
It was a really sweet story.
So sweet. Just basically that he couldn't go out on this date, and so the date brought him a milkshake instead. I guess he had his wisdom teeth out or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all he could eat. But yeah, I just thought it was a sweet story and it was delicious. But yeah, we could all probably have foretold what was going to happen, that you can't win a quick fire with a milkshake.
I would have been intrigued had he made like some sort of savory spin on a milkshake. Although maybe that's what happened with Phillip's potatoes. Maybe nobody should ever do that.
I was thinking potato turning milkshake. Food into a foamy liquid. No.
That, and I kept worrying that he had a straw with the wisdom teeth milkshake, because you're not supposed to do that because of the stitches.
I
just kept picturing it.
Yeah,
and, like,
no
worrying.
Straw.
Obviously,
you put
that's
your
not.
Finger over the straw and then you drop it in your mouth. Or,
oh,
you
that's
know.
A fun game.
I like the idea of just like his date maybe just dumping the milkshake like into his mouth, but just like kind of clumsy.
Oh yeah, and you got to hit the cup. You got to be like talk, 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 talk. Is it getting? No,
and
just
then
keep...
it just all goes at once.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So in the end, Jason wins with his very tasteful carrots and dates and brown butter.
Padma loved the char on that. Like, it was...
Yeah, not too much char.
You know, it was charred all over. Like, she was like, did you...
But it wasn't too much char, though. Like, it was for her. She liked
leading.
The char.
It sounded like she hated the char, but then she hearted it.
Yeah, she hearts that char. And Isaac was in the top, and Giselle was in the top for her convertible salad date story, I think. That, I don't know. Maybe it was good.
I didn't buy that, but I guess it was good.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way that story got reacted to, if that makes sense. It was because it felt like she was pandering, and then they just ate it up.
Yeah.
And I was sort of annoyed when she was like, you don't want your food to be heavy because you want to stay sexy, right, ladies? And then he was like, yes! Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Which was,
yogurt.
Gross. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a little odd. So Jason goes on to Immunity Town, and then we get into the Big Fat Gay Wedding Challenge with our guest Art Smith.
Yeah.
Who is back and jolly and renewing his vows, and the Honorable Reverend Padma.
Yeah, and they called him all around teddy bear, which I think is totally true for the first time we saw him on Masters, and this time. The last time we saw him on Masters, he had an alarming weight loss and was very bitter about things.
No, that's right. I thought I didn't. Yeah. I thought I remember that.
Jolly
didn't just imagine it.
Was that? Was that time on Masters? Was that the wedding cake disaster?
Think it was.
I think he was still fat in that point.
There was a time where he came back and he's like, I've lost 80 pounds or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was a lot trimmer, but he also wasn't nearly as much fun. He was really mean.
Well, he looked and felt good, it seemed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. So we also had a challenge that sort of transcended our usual sort of contest feel. There was a lot more love in this episode, to the tune of 25 couples getting married, and being presided over by Padma. And I loved her comment as they were leaving. He was like, "You're gonna have to get a great dress for this one," and she's like, "My outfit is going to be insane."
Padma, I love it when she's lets loose and is genuine, because she was like, "I got ordained today," and she was so excited. She's so excited. And
she's totally relaxed, like, over the seasons, and I feel like she does let herself through so much, and even more, you know, as the seasons go on. And she's so much fun. Like, I wish she was like my older sister. Or
I couldn't agree.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I definitely wanted to hear all about how they settled on that purple lip for her, like,
it's sort of like hot pinky purple.
Yeah, for all of her reception time. I just thought she looked really dreamy the whole time.
She did, and her hair was so pretty.
Oh,
it was
really good.
It was really
good. Padma, you're so pretty.
You're doing a great job in everything, in every possible way.
And this was so full of good news. I mean, there was that, and then also Art Smith said nobody has to make a wedding cake, so we knew one of the major Top Chef blunders would be just skipped. And people were
that was
awesome. That was a good touch, and I appreciated that he was like, yeah, the last time I tried to do it, it didn't go so well, so I'm not gonna make you guys do that.
The thing where, like, you know, they have 24 hours to do it and they stay up all night to do it and the product is just terrible.
You
know, I think they were much more relaxed and much more focused on putting out good food for this one. At least that was my sense. I don't know.
Yeah This has felt, now that I'm thinking about it, this has felt much more cohesive in terms of just how all the chefs are working together. And I feel like, with the exception of Amar, I'm really aware of who's who.
Oh, you don't know who Chad is. Don't worry about it.
And I sort of, I mean, I know, now I know that Chad has two daughters that are not well represented by date foam. But other than that, like, those two are sort of a bit of a blur.
Oh, that one was, Yeah, a Mars was also, I think it was a Mars date challenge that was really awkward when it was about his ex-girlfriend. And they were like,
yes. Oh, that's right.
Well, yes. But you didn't keep her around. And he's like, she's coming back. Like,
Amar is not really appearing on Top Chef because he's working on winning back his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Wow.
There was a lot of good improvisation in response to Chrissy Teigen's kind of prying questions,
oh, yeah.
I thought, or at least they edited it that way.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Tip of the hat, Magic Elves.
Well, I think tip of the hat to Chrissy Teigen. I have a feeling that she is good at off the cuff play.
Yeah, she seems like charming
and making people feel comfortable.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah, except for Kwame.
Right. Boing.
Yeah, I think that generally, anytime there's a guest that's genuinely into the show, everything improves in quality by like 5,000%. It's just,
yeah, there's respect.
Yeah, yeah. And they are much more comfortable with just their reactions and just the whole thing goes much more smoothly. So back to Gay Wedding Town, we have a huge group challenge where everybody has to conceive of this menu as a unit, which I felt like went more smoothly than I expected. What were your thoughts on that, team?
Did you guys see anybody kind of leading the group? I know we still have quite a few chefs on the TV. I mean, I'm not sure. Did you guys see anybody who like stuck out as like a leader being like, okay, we're going to do this, this, this?
I don't think so.
Not really.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did feel sort of bad for, and I just totally forgot her name. Oh, Giselle.
Sure.
Because I get, like, I understand why that people kind of think she's all over the place. And,
Because she is.
But also, I did feel like they were being kind of rude to her in the van and, like, not, like, the way, I think it was Wesley was, like, and I didn't even really get it why Wesley was involved, like, talking about the asparagus thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, and she's like, I don't see those flavors going together. And he's like, it doesn't matter. It goes really well. And I was like, just, like, don't talk to people like that. That's so rude. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I did get that it was, like, I felt like, she was kind of over, I don't know, talking about how, like, she didn't really feel supported at all.
And then it was hard to make
friends.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I understand why people took issue, but I also think that, like, it was super, like, they just acted really rudely in response. And I definitely saw that coming out in the preparation for this challenge.
Yeah. I was really struck by her pointing out that she was having a hard time making friends, because that's, obviously, we all know that is sort of the opposite of the quote that goes around
right.
from TV programming.
Yes.
All the time.
That's true.
And the idea
you mean
that,
they're not there to make friends?
Yeah. That's and
building
and,
bridges.
You know, yeah. And so she says that early on at the sort of the as the challenge is kicking off in her like to camera confessional mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah.
And then she gets called out in the judges table portion and is sort of told like, you know, you're here to win. Like, why aren't you trying to step over people? Like, that's actually what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like there's a way that she's trying to operate. And I wouldn't say it's wholly successful. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously it wasn't wholly successful. But this way that she has of thinking of the show and thinking of why she's there, that is very different than we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. So that's kind of on the not working out so great side of things, and then we also have Super Kwame,
yeah,
on the working out really great,
yeah,
to everyone's
talk about
benefit.
Winning a challenge by making sauces and garnishes.
I was
that's pretty,
yeah.
It would have had to be real good sauce to both win the overall challenge, which he did, but he also saved Philip, which was unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, but, we shouldn't be saving Philip at this point.
Yeah, but like, how good is that despite himself? You know, even though he thinks that Philip's potatoes are completely whack and, you know, that Philip's just doing bizarre things with food that isn't good, he's still like, yeah, I'm going to do my thing and make sure that, you know, my part of this is as good as possible. And it's great.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. I was so worried when he was like, yeah, I'll just do the sauce. Or I'm just going to do the sausage.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you you're gonna go home. I like That's, you.
Yeah. That definitely had like the suspenseful agony edit. And actually, to be fair, Jason and Angelina and their bickering festival had that too.
Yeah, they were getting. I turned to Tanya and said, "They're getting the doom edit." And,
yeah,
you know, but it can be that magic elves' false flag, and indeed it was. Their food was among the top.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, a lot of great food this time, actually.
Yeah.
Most of it was really good.
Yeah, the judges were pretty happy. Everything except for Karen and Giselle's really, and Phil, Philip or whatever. Everything else was amazing, right?
Yeah. You had the dirty rice. Marjorie banged out an amazing dessert again, which last time she did a dessert, she won. She almost, I mean, I think she was probably on the short list to be in the winning dish.
I've been really enjoying the soft-spoken but super well-qualified and excellent folks this season, because sometimes you have like the people that are very good but also very bombastic and super loud.
Yeah.
But I feel like we have several chefs this time around that just like get it done and do a stellar job.
Who's in that group for you?
Well, Marjorie for sure.
Yep.
And actually, you know what? I would say Kwame actually is in that group for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And is Jason, you know?
What about Jason or Jeremy?
No, he well.
Or Jeremy is the one
in
I'm
a way,
thinking,
but oh yeah, Jeremy for sure. Jason kind of let out his, I don't know, not so classy side this episode. I felt.
Yeah.
Well, him actually, Marjorie kind of jumped on that boat too when everyone was calling out Philip, which I thought was pretty funny, but it was a little bit.
I know.
But, you know, the thing to me is that when you have that many people speaking up and people who don't normally speak up, wow, that must have been something that really ticked some people off. You know, over
there. Sure, sure.
Yeah. He's clearly not liked.
Yeah.
Well,
but why were they? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna ask. What do we think of Philip's false bill of goods? I mean, he shouted a bunch of ingredients that go with potatoes, and then he went in his little corner and got real fancy with it without necessarily letting anyone know that that was the real plan. But I'm not sure. There's definitely part of me that wonders if that was as big a transgression as everyone decided it was.
Yeah, I was really curious about that because it didn't seem like why did everyone else care? I don't know. I mean, maybe they were mad that he sort of put Kwame in danger by doing something totally weird, but
yeah, but everybody, it's not that they hate Philip, it's that they love Kwame.
Yeah. But I was That's like
wondering. I just think they just don't like him.
Yeah.
That was their way of trying to get him off, is to say how terrible what he did was in hopes that maybe he would get sent home.
Because like listening to that clip again, you know, the chefs were contesting that he said it would eat like mashed potatoes, and what he said it would taste like mashed potatoes, which is an entirely different thing. So, you know, he didn't imply texture or form in that way whatsoever.
But when it comes to a mashed potato, that feels like the most integral part.
Well, and it turns out it was like crappy like cream liquid that was not good.
Well, and I
with overcooked gummy potatoes.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where I think, you know, again, this episode Kwame knows best, because he really, I think he put it best when he said, you know, even if this is exactly what you intended to do, it's not good. There's no reason to do it. Yeah. Like, it may have come out exactly as you hoped it would, but it's still garbage. And I appreciated, I guess, because Kwame was so clear with Philip in the moment when he was like, come taste this amazing thing I made. And he was like, this is not amazing. And then he was so consistent. There was no, there was no feeling awkward and lying to the person at the in the moment. It just was all out there from the beginning. Yeah. And I guess
And Philip said, you're wrong.
Yeah. So Philip continued to be pigheaded. And I also wanted to, okay. So I wanted to talk with you guys about the judges table discussion, because I thought it got a little bit deeper into how they make their decisions this time.
So interesting.
So we have Gail making this point that, like, trying to figure out basically like what the bigger issue should be when you're evaluating somebody who doesn't do a great job. Is it that you take a super duper backseat like Giselle and just try to stay on the show by not doing very much? Or is it worse to make a huge error and, you know, sort of charge forward with it?
Yeah, is it worse? And also, in re-errors, is it better to know what's right and fail to get there? Or is it worse to have a bad idea but execute your idea perfectly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the decision that I think Gail raised that question of like, what are we trying to do here? And
right, or like what kind of, and it was almost like, it almost felt like school in a weird way. It sounded sort of like she was wondering, like, what kind of message do we need to send chefs so that they know, mm-hmm. like, what the bigger sin is in yeah. the larger mm-hmm. picture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think the biggest sin is? Did the right person go home?
I mean, I think so. Like, well, I don't know. I didn't taste the food, obviously. So I don't know how bad the mashed potato thing was. It didn't, like... Mm-hmm. look that bad to me, but I don't know. I guess it was pretty bad. But yeah, I feel like if Giselle just really didn't do anything, then, you know, she letting her go on isn't the right decision.
Yeah. Is inactive. I mean, as we're talking about the decision to let Giselle go versus letting somebody like Philip go, and is inactivity worse than really terrible potatoes?
It hasn't been in the past. If you guys remember the All-Star one where Jamie stayed for doing nothing and Jen went home, I was actually really betting against the fact that Giselle would go home for inactivity, for being a neutral, basically.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it.
You're okay with Giselle having gone home over Karen and Philip?
Yeah. I mean, like... Maybe she like did nothing. It'd be really tough to actually straight up do nothing, right?
Right. Like just like walk around and check other chefs' dishes and occasionally like bang a spoon inside an empty bowl.
No, I mean you could just sit on the floor with a pressure cooker and not figure it out for the entire prep time.
My dish never made it to the plate, chef.
Yeah. I am so sorry. Yeah.
Is my face red? This is a tough lid.
Actually, and I just realized. We left out Karen. So what are people thinking about Karen? Because I remember thinking that she was incredibly solid and a really great bet for sort of future success. And mm-hmm. this is the first time that we've seen her make a blunder, and she made a blunder in several places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with like all of the ingredients.
Pretty much every ingredient.
Yeah, marrow was bland, the asparagus was under, this was bad. Like, yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You name it, it was pretty bad, and it was mostly Karen's fault.
Yeah, but how was the whole?
Yeah, you know, and like Karen kept saying that, you know, the issue was that she was so distracted by having to micromanage Giselle that she couldn't ensure quality in her product.
Oh, wait, there is that clip of Giselle's endless questions for Karen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was, I mean, it ranged from like what to do next to like the size of any given like chopping. Right, right. It felt insane.
Well, if Giselle was a sous chef, or if she was a line cook, and Karen was the chef.
If this were the last challenge, and Giselle had been assigned to Karen to help her win, this all would have made sense. Right. But given that they are both still like competing as individuals, it was very shocking to see how much Giselle was deferring to Karen. And I think maybe she thought she was doing it in the same, under the banner of being nice. But it felt like ineptitude.
Well, and also felt like... Go ahead.
We were sure that Giselle was supposed to be on Karen's team, right?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't like she was like on someone else's team and just like trying to sabotage Karen, which is also a great plan.
That would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah, next. Actually, NBC's The Mole.
I like this strategy a lot, actually. If you like, you say you pair up and you're like, you know what, I don't think you can actually help me. I think you'll probably do more harm than good. Why don't I just try and make a great dish for both of us? You do nothing on my team. And just like make the other person watch YouTube videos and try to slow them down. Just a speed bump, you know?
Yeah. So I guess, so we have an unprecedented situation here where doing nothing is worse than bad food. Mm-hmm. It sounds like
at least taking a strong backseat. She didn't do nothing. But
well, no, I mean, obviously we don't have, she's not like in a recliner while all the cooking is happening.
Right.
Yeah.
But she's also just not at all active. And so goodbye, Giselle. And
will this kind of like punishment, I guess, make anyone do anything differently?
That's a good question.
I don't know. because, well, what we didn't see in this edit was anything about Giselle, we sent you home because, you know, in front of all the other chefs. And that may have definitely happened and could have been cut for time, or it may not have happened. But hopefully there was some sort of clear message about, you know, here's why you're going home. What's Caleb up to? What's that crazy kid doing?
This is sounding like way more fun than my musings about Giselle.
Caleb. He learned it. Caleb, do you want some hummus?
Eat.
Eat is, that's orange. we made a list of his, all the words he like can like say and like, and knows.
Hummus?
Yeah, hummus.
Mama, hummus.
You want some more hummus?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe mom will get you some hummus.
So agreeable.
He sounds like delighted and surprised by the question. Like,
yeah, no, it's like, yeah, that is what I would want. But yeah, so anyway, so there's like 300 words on the list right now. And like about 100 are food, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense.
Very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before.
Some are people, some are animal sounds, but like by far, it's like. It's different ways of saying more, and it's also food.
You know, if you guys were ever interested in teaching Caleb some of the words that show up on Top Chef that are really crazy,
yeah,
I would love to do a supercut of him just saying a bunch of crazy stuff like harissa,
yeah,
cabinet.
Yeah. What? Yeah. What are the? Yeah, what? So, I mean, obviously, the first 300 words are important, but say like if you're going to add another 100 to that, what are the 100 other necessary words that you need to appreciate Top Chef?
Scallop. Pack your knives instead of
pack your knives.
Knife block.
Yep, scallop for sure.
Scallop. Yeah.
Sous vide.
Yeah. Sous vide.
Pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Foam.
Oh, foam.
Under seasoned.
Did you taste this?
Did you taste this?
You've got a great pickle there. I think that wins.
Yeah,
that's pretty
okay. Cool. Before we get into the mailbag, I wanted to just ask from a more large scale perspective. I think for me, this is one of my favorite catering challenges that we've had because they were able to control the scale. They were able to control the vibe overall was so festive and positive, and they were able to really focus on quality food. It just didn't feel the same level of like factory line sadness. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if people agree, disagree, if catering challenges have a future. I mean, they're obviously always going to be a part of Top Chef, but this felt less tiresome than our usual.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an improvement, I think. Maybe it's because there's more love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There should just be more love all the time.
Yeah, well, I don't want it all the time. I want it like Christmas, maybe, you know, where it's like it's once and then you like remember it. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to keep this love with me all the time. But you won't. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree, I guess, that the result of the catering challenge was among the best that we've ever seen as far as really good food and really good output. And, you know, the chefs really seem to be in control. Megan, did you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, it definitely didn't seem like as stressful as a lot of other catering challenges we've seen where everyone's just so
running around like they're on fire.
Right, exactly. Like it seemed like, I don't know, it seemed a little bit more like people could succeed more easily, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I guess that's something that kind of struck me is like, is Top Chef either getting better at setting chefs up to succeed in a challenge like that? Or is this sort of the bumper bowling of large catering challenges? Like, did the chefs have it too easy to really make this good reality TV?
It's hard because I think Top Chef, the caliber of chefs that they've attracting is improving as they are also fine tuning their challenge structure.
That's true.
So it's hard to say.
I don't know, Sarah. What's your gut say?
Yeah, I think even though there's less drama in the traditional Bravo sense, I don't find it any less interesting. I really like the more open-ended challenges, and I think where the interest comes from is seeing what people come up with. And you know, it's kind of fun to watch 25 people get married, so that's kind of where the intrigue factor comes in.
Yeah.
I think it's better. I would much rather watch people you know, be talented and lots of people be happy and feel in love than watch people fight over something that was probably edited to look totally different than what it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can we, like, just add, like, multiply all the old challenges by 25 as well, I guess? Right? So, like, because we had, like, a wedding challenge before, and now it's just, you know, times 25. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're hosting, you are catering 25 groups of firemen all together.
Can you imagine restaurant wars, but with 25 different restaurants that you have to pop up open?
Oh, God.
25 Foo Fighter Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Just purely terrible.
Yeah. You need to make vegan dinner for 25 Zooey Deschanels.
Zooey. I was just thinking about this.
Oh, man. This Deschanel's a little underbaked. It's kind of Zooey.
Actually, I really wanted it to be Zooey. That was my vision when I undertook
it. Just because you wanted it to be Zooey doesn't mean it's...
I guess you really wanted it to be Zoe, but you didn't know that at the time. Mistakes were made. Okay, so I think it's time to pop into the...
Wait, did you guys research? Did you have a plan beforehand and practice how you say it? Because I really don't want to be left out in the cold again.
No, okay,
we're saying mailbag quickly.
We're doing a quick mailbag. Although we did get somebody who weighed in and said that they missed the old mailbag, so not everyone was a hater.
Was that
me? That's the one. Don't worry about it.
True,
the outlier.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Are we ready? We're gonna get into the. Mailbag.
Oh, that was really good.
That went really well, you guys.
Yeah.
It's because we all came
so
to
my heart is racing. I need to come down from this.
So let's start out. We'll start out with the Twitter mailbag. We are on Twitter at Pack Your Mics. And we have a few this time around. There was some backlash against Chrissy Teigen.
What?
Yeah. So Brian Jackson said, "Forget chefs. There are too many models on my TV."
What?
Sassy.
Whoa.
No, I think when it's models laughing with each other, and it's, you know, it's Padma and it's Chrissy Teigen. It's great.
Yeah, and he wasn't alone. So at Fizzy Fizzy Fifi also said they literally spent more time introducing a model than they spent at the Dates Farm. Why not have the farmers judge?
Ooh, the farm did get really short shrift, actually. That is a good point.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Why aren't more date farmers on the cover of Vogue? That's the real question.
Yeah. Do you think date farmers go on dates?
I think they'd have to, right?
Also, to be fair, I think Chrissy Teigen hasn't been on the cover of Vogue, but she has been on the cover of Sports Illustrated a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So, different kind of model.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I don't really know much about Chrissy Teigen, period.
I think you mean you don't know anything about models.
Well, then that's a credit to me, right?
I assume.
The Model T. I know that one.
I will say that feels a bit like a trend this season. I think we've spent a lot of time doing a quick check-in with the person that produces this thing, and then we gather up that thing and run to another location.
Oh, yeah, with, like, the uni.
Yeah, we had the same issue with the uni.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. I guess that's not really an issue with Chrissy Teigen, then. That's just an issue with this season and the way that they're traveling.
There are also still 14 chefs, which means every time they have a quick fire, every time they have an elimination challenge, they have to present so many plates that they have way less time for, you know, some of that other stuff. So as the season goes on, I expect them to linger a little bit more.
And in fairness to Pack Your Mics continuity, I also feel it's important to point out that they did cook in a real kitchen this time around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Proving that California has at least one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still not.
Yeah, that was
block.
Kind of the nice thing about not doing it at the date farm, for sure.
Yeah.
But now bringing in the farmer, I guess.
Yeah, I would have liked her to weigh in on the dates.
The use of the
She
dates.
Did pretty well, though, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Ez and I were commenting. We really liked the date farmer. She had, like, just a really nice way with the camera.
Yes, she got through her copy much better than I expected.
Yes, agreed.
She did.
Too bad we
didn't. Oh, and let's not forget that she also got to crack wise about the date machete.
Oh, yeah. We got that great moment with Isaac.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah, she seemed super fun. I wish we did see more.
Yeah, and who better to pick out the flavor of date in a variety of different dishes, to be fair.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
One last note from Fifi. She also thought that the opening was really awkwardly edited, and we went from discovering Carl's jujitsu to the date in the kitchen in like 30 seconds.
Oh yeah, it was Jeremy with the jujitsu.
Oh, Jeremy with the jujitsu.
Yeah,
sorry,
but they do
throw in names around.
So I love the trend. Okay, so clearly Caleb agrees.
Yeah, Caleb wants more farmers at the quick fire.
He's really really upset about that.
It's okay. I sympathize.
You know what? Caleb understands the importance of date farmers, and I think that that's a really respectful stance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Date farmers, and also having the hummus container being taken away from him since it was full of orange slices. So he's passionate about that.
He's got a lot of platforms.
Yeah, it feels a lot of feelings. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, with the editing. I really support the thing they've been doing in the past couple seasons where they start the episode with the end of the last episode. So you get that continuity of, like, here's what happened last time, here's how people feel about it, and we're going again. And, like, that part was good, but I agree. Like, not a great edit this time. But, again, so many chefs on the TV.
So many. So many. Per usual, Chris Tokohama has a lot of ideas for us. So
he's a font.
He's a font of information. I did enjoy some cracking wise. We started dating at Stefan's restaurant tells you everything you need to know about Philip.
Yeah.
That gave me a chuckle.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fair. It's just skeezy. And they showed a little picture of Stefan when he said that. And for some reason that really enhanced the gross feelings that I had at that time.
But Stefan is also sort of like into himself and into being in LA in the same way that Philip is. And so it seems like they would get along really well.
They would either get along really well or they would explode if they were in the same room together or something.
Sure, yeah. I don't yeah, if they touch, it would cause a rift in space-time ego complex.
Yeah. Or they probably like don't even like notice each other because they're both so into themselves. Like they're just like, no, I'm serious. Like imagine it.
No, I think you're totally right.
They bump into each other at the mirror.
And they're both just like having conversations with each other but not listening to the other person, so they're talking the exact same time.
Yeah, and they don't even notice. Totally.
Oh my gosh. I can see that.
So good.
And I think they get along really well.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So we have a few other comments from Chris. I will blow through them a little bit quickly. He didn't necessarily enjoy the use of gay marriage in this episode as sort of this commodity to be celebrated and, you know, cooed over, and it felt a little bit jammed into him and a bit of like sort of like a stunt. I can kind of understand where he's coming from with that, especially since we don't get a lot of clarity about how this 25-person gay wedding came to be.
Oh my gosh, I was thinking about that so much. Was it like someone said, "Hey, do you want to get married on Top Chef? Sign up here," and then the first 25 couples got
right.
Because otherwise, you know, how would you get in that situation?
Right.
Or maybe Art organized it or something.
Well, and Sandy, who does the challenges, who was on season one or season two or something like that, she and her partner were one of the couples that they kept snapping back to.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think it was chefs and chef-adjacent people.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But then it also begs the question, how many people did these people get to invite? And did they do this and then have their own receptions where everyone could be? I mean, since all of us on the show are married, we all know the agony of the invite list. And I really cannot imagine being like, we're going to get married on Top Chef. You three people come join us.
Yeah. Or, you know, it could be that's the legal marriage. And then they also have a throw their own party or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It could be just like a bonus free televised delicious wedding. They go and do their own thing, you know,
but,
that they paid $30,000 for as well.
Yeah,
who knows?
Could be. I mean, regardless, at least what I saw is just that the people, like for Art and for the judges and, you know, for a lot of the chefs, it was, you know, something that meant a lot to them and that it seemed like it connected emotionally for them. And I think that's kind of what made it special, at least for me.
Yeah. I understand the commentary though, because I had a couple moments where I bristled a little bit at the emphasis on equality and, you know, which is wonderful and, you know, we're all on board. But at the same time, you know, when it's your wedding, I would imagine, or at least if it were me, like you want the focus to be on you and your partner and your life together and your love. And you know, maybe some people would want the political
side of it,
marriage aspect in there. That's fine. But yeah, I think it made it a little, obviously it made it less personal. There were 25 couples there, but I see where they're coming
agreed.
From.
Yeah. I mean, it could also, you know, be people had been together for a really long time and just hadn't been able to get married. And so maybe the formality of being married was, and having like everybody there when you've already been a couple for a really long time was, it was not as important to have everybody there. I don't know. So
yeah, we don't have a lot of data.
Yeah,
unfortunately not. But there definitely, there was a little bit of uneasiness. I think around the third or fourth time that they cajoled somebody into saying, "I never thought in my lifetime that this could happen for me." Like, it just starts to feel, I don't know. Yeah, it starts to feel a little heartstring contrived. So I definitely appreciate the note. Any other
mailbag
submissions we should be aware of?
Well, we've got one on the Facebook there.
Oh, yeah. Facebook.com/packyourmics. And
yep.
Chris, I'll let you take this one away.
Yeah. And sorry we didn't get the mailbag comment up until pretty recently. We've been trying to avoid spoilers and not read the individual posts until we're doing the episode. But so James wrote into the Facebook to say something interesting, I thought. Is Kwame our new villain for saving Philip's dish and making it less of a failure?
Oh. Whoa!
Is Kwame an accidental villain?
That's deep, man. No, I love
that. I know, he's so hard to dislike for any reason. I mean, I'm sure there will come a time when I'm like, Kwame, I never thought you'd do it like this. But... I'm a Kwame fan.
Yeah. Well, and she also asks, is Art the new villain for robbing us of the drama of the wedding cake? And we talked about this a little. At least I'm a thank goodness Art saved us from having to make a wedding cake on the show.
Yeah.
Not us, but the, you know, the TV show.
I'm so glad I didn't have to make a wedding cake, you guys.
Yeah. And she said, also thanks for the shout out on the last episode. Next time, could you use only my first name? I will edit that out.
This was a comment from Jane.
Yeah, thanks, Jane.
Yeah, good job.
Yep,
it's important to read the whole thing.
Whoops.
Good thing this isn't live.
Yep, not live.
So yeah, I think that's the close of our
mailbag.
So let's move into predictions. How are things looking for our Wily band of chefs? I actually, Megan, did you watch the coming next? Because I think we skipped it this time.
Oh, I mean, I watched till the end, but I don't remember seeing the coming next. So I don't know. Oh wait, I did watch it. Okay, let me think back
what
here.
It's insane.
Oh, they have a high stakes quickfire.
Oh,
next time. Yeah. So.
It feels like the drop in numbers has been a very leisurely project this time. Mm-hmm. We're not getting rid of people as quickly as we sometimes do. So in terms of predictions, I think it is time to see some chefs leave our TV, actually, now that I'm really thinking about it.
Who do you guys want to leave besides Phil?
The obvious.
Yeah.
If Philip... Yeah.
Or if you want Philip to stay, you know, go for it.
I think Amar is going.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was a chef for the last couple of weeks.
Yes. As we're talking about Top Chef.
Yeah.
I know who that is, but imagine. It doesn't sound like he's a chef. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Poor Amar.
Poor Amar.
Yeah. Amar or Chad. Somebody like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're Chads of the world. You're Amar's, you know.
I feel like... And Angelina she hasn't really succeeded at any of the, well, I guess the last dish they did pretty well, but I feel like she may be going home pretty soon.
I guess I railed against Angelina earlier, but I agree with you, Megan. I feel like her attitude is getting the better of her, and she's also making some assumptions. She's making some assumptions that feel really risky to me, just in terms of the way that she's working with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there aren't, of the great chefs that are left, I don't think there are very many that are going to be very flexible about the way that she handles herself in the kitchen. And mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to, I can't see that shaking out well for her. Mm-hmm. So Amar, if we can remember that he's there, Angelina.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, maybe equally, it's just like Padma and Tom just do not remember that he's there and that he'll probably stay for several more minutes.
Yeah, he might sneak by for a little while.
Amar's going to take it away.
He turns out everyone else gets eliminated and he happens to be the left. And he's like, oh, I guess this guy is Top Chef. What's your name, son?
I like the idea that the edit starts to be, we accidentally eliminated all of our chefs and then they're like panning around the room and they get to this corner where Amar is sitting. And they're like, oh, we have someone left. I guess he wins. It's fine.
Yeah. You know, Wesley also has, of the people who are left, who aren't Angelina and aren't Philip, he also has more bottoms than anybody else. And that might have been early sloppy Wesley. I don't know. Do you guys think he's redeeming himself?
Yeah, how's Wesley doing in everyone's estimation?
Wesley's star is rising.
Yeah.
Oh, the Oracle speaks.
Hey. Yes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I don't know. Carl's been good at quick fires, but not really too much at the elimination challenges. He might be coming up soon.
More milkshakes.
Yeah. Chris Tokahama did think that Carl got a doom edit because he had a phone call and he was working on a dessert, but then he really pulled it out with a win.
Yeah.
So
maybe the doom edit is like too much of a false flag that's known this by this time, you know?
We're always a step behind.
Yeah, maybe it was just too good that it was his anniversary. They couldn't like pass up the phone call.
It was like weddings and weddings and weddings.
Yeah.
It was pretty cute.
Yeah. Carl, cute story.
I feel like we need a whole like research like wing, I guess, of Pack Your Mics. We can just like, you know, say like, can you guys crunch the numbers and like, you know, have like some what's the doom probability on each person based on what they've done?
Yeah.
Be very helpful.
We did get a research request to find out who started the tradition of shaking the judges' hands at the end, like when you get eliminated. Who kicked that off?
I'm gonna guess wildly and say it's Jen Carroll.
Oh.
Let's say why not.
She did some handshakes. For sure.
She did?
Who's going to be the first one that'll do like the handshake and then do the psych?
No!
Because that'll be pretty... yeah, like...
No, but seriously, keep me in mind if there are any opportunities in the future.
Oh, man, I bet Kwame do that. He's pretty cool.
I feel like Kwame has too much respect for authority, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like he's very... I don't know. He seems very aware of the hierarchy within the chef world and is super...
Yeah, but I guess speaking of giving Tom shade, should we talk about Last Chance Kitchen?
Last Chance Kitchen.
Oh, that was a sassy Last Chance Kitchen.
So sassy.
I enjoyed the
Grayson
sass
was
factor.
Giving Tom a ton of heckles. He was heckling back. They were checking food for each other. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had it was Grayson versus Giselle in Last Chance Kitchen. They had 20 seconds to take a look at ingredients, come up with two ideas, and then Tom would choose the idea that he liked best.
Or so he said.
Or so he said, and then he just let them pick.
It's like the last week of school, and the teacher's like, "It's like, all right, guys, these are the rules." And you're like, "What? Can we just leave?" And like, "Yeah, that's fine too.
That'll do. You know, the AP test is over. You want to watch a movie or like go outside? I don't really care.
Yeah. Let's go see the Goonies."
I enjoyed Tom just like wandering to people's stations and taking their food out of the oven and touching it and just doing whatever he felt like doing.
Maybe Tom was a little unhinged after like a number of these shoots in a given day.
He must have pulled some springs not to get like the dumpy tuba edit, like when he was like poking around, you know?
I know, we haven't heard that for a while. There's that one, and then there's also I feel like it's a bass being played with a bow that's like ba-dum bum bum ba-dum.
Oh,
ba-dum,
yeah.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum. And like the like little sassy flute.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Grayson got to say, "Tom, what up, G?" And like we don't really see that in a kitchen. It's always yes, chef, no chef, you know?
Mm-hmm. True.
So Tom should have maybe gotten the bass music for that, but I don't know if they have the budget for that at Last Chance Kitchen.
Do we? I liked New Tom. How did you guys feel about New Tom?
I would take. I want to pair New Tom with drunk Padma too.
Okay, so New Tom feels to me like when Padma gets drunk, like, and I don't know what.
New Tom was drunk.
But I don't. I have a feeling because Tom is working on another show, that, and I imagine that
America's Next Booze.
No, it's America's Next Best Restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait. That sounds like it's like the best one's taken. This is like the next best one.
Yeah, second best.
America's second best restaurant. Chili's 2.
Chili's 2 is delightful, guys.
It is not.
Most of the regular Chili's, but just, you know, like faster service,
faster
I think.
Faster service, and they also accept smaller menu vouchers.
All right.
Every Chili's does. But he is. I mean, I understand that obviously those production schedules are not overlapping. But I'm imagining that Tom is burning the candle at both ends these days. What with the double shows, perhaps he's a little sleep deprived.
Yeah. Do you think he was
feeling
just
a little free and loose?
Did he seem loopy? I don't know. Like, what did Megan? Did you think he seemed like loopy or drunk, or was he just like sassy?
I like that this has turned into, like, do we need to do an intervention for Tom Colicchio? Yeah. Is he okay?
Is Tom okay?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I definitely feel like he's a lot more, casual during Last Chance Kitchen, for sure.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, he's like, well, this is the internet. No one's really going to see it.
I just had a new thought. Maybe the presence of Grayson, who, you know, compared to all of these brand new chefs, counts as like something of an old pal, is loosening him up a little bit.
Ooh.
Because I have to say, eliminated Grayson is like 25 million times better than like on the show Grayson.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely. More fun.
Like the stakes have changed, and she's just constantly like, she has like a very like flushed appearance and is constantly like cracking wise. And I really enjoy it. I really like, I like this person much better.
And she cooked lamb in a wood fired stove in like a minute, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly. She did it really. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fired really well.
I actually thought Giselle was going to do all right though. Cause like he said pretty good things about.
Yeah. She cooked that chicken breast perfectly.
Yep. Yeah, and it looked good, but apparently Grayson won because the cold polenta was not nearly as great as Grayson's mediocre texture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Grayson's going to fight whoever's next, probably Angelina.
Cold polenta does sound really gross.
Yeah, cold
polenta.
Actually,
Yeah,
I can understand that doesn't go great.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's that. Unless, did you have more?
No, I mean, I guess I wanted to share Caleb's creation. The thing that he really cared about before was putting two slices of mandarin orange into a hummus-like container and closing the lid and then opening the lid up again.
Yeah.
And so that was about 15 minutes worth of work.
That's a good game. And I think he's really going to do well catering that 30-person wedding.
I prepared for you guys two orange slices in a Trader Joe's hummus container.
A really messy one by that point.
Yeah. Art Smith is gonna do the cake, and since Caleb
don't
is
worry
little, they're gonna do 15 couples instead of 25, so it's gonna be doable.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great.
But yeah, I'll recommend, because the great thing about hummus and orange is that it doubles kind of as an activity as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's really like it's for spackling, you know, it's for finger painting. he's really making the most of the ingredients. So
yeah, I think he took some really great product and he showcased it in a very innovative way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can really see all the uses of the hummus.
And those ingredients, they really pop. Every single
right
one
now he's working on animal crackers in a laundry basket.
Yep.
Wow,
that's a lot of promise.
That is with, unorthodox.
And actually, Philip would approve because he is serving it with some like river rocks as well.
Oh,
very
wow.
Good. He's making great use of the natural space of your living room.
Yeah.
And now he's looking for another ingredient out of the trash.
He's really. I'm worried about how much he's emulating Philip. You guys, have you talked to him about this?
Yeah. Keep his hair short.
Don't let him work for Stefan.
Well, there he goes.
Off to Stefan.
Off to Stefan.
Richter!
All right. Well, this has been Pack Your Mics. You can reach us on the internet at packyourmics.com. You can find us on Twitter at Pack Your Mics, on Facebook, facebook.com/packyourmics. And next week, we'll be talking about the San Diego episode.
Woo-hoo.
In the meantime, Chris?
What? Going south.
We hated your potatoes, and we'd like you to get out.
No, that's how I meant to cook them. No.
Oh, that's true. Okay, Megan.
Aww.
Good call, good call.
Wait, can't we just say that Alex did nothing, so he should go home?
Yeah, that's true. Alex did absolutely nothing for this
that's
episode.
That's true.
Oh, I guess. Alex really took a backseat this episode.
Alex has been largely silent. So I suppose, technically, he should be the one who goes home.
Yeah, he had a good run.
He had a great run. And until he comes back home, we'll be without Alex. But hopefully next week,
yeah.
The gang will be back together again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Alex is going to take, Kip's going to take another lap with this laundry basket rock graham cracker creation. So play us out.
Bye, guys.
Oh, no, it's stuck.